Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, everybody. Thank you for being here with us. We will be getting into the latest on some of the CRT battle that's out there. Does it even exist? CNN not convinced that it's happening in schools, despite all the evidence to the contrary. We'll get to that. Also more on the COVID situation, the vaccine mandates. But right now, as promised, we have Senator Ron Johnson with us from the great state of Wisconsin, where I was just spending some time myself. Senator Johnson, thanks for being with us.
Well, guys, hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we're good, sir. Thank you. Let's start with this. I know you've been asking DHS to actually release the numbers about how many illegal immigrants have been let into the United States, released into the United States this year. What can you tell us about where that process stands, what the numbers are as you expect them, and is it just getting worse essentially every month? I mean, is the lawlessness when it comes to illegal immigration only on the increase?
Well, we maybe had a slight downtick from over 6,700 apprehensions a day to, I think, a little over 6,500 apprehensions a day. But again, that compares to about 2,000 a day during the Obama's humanitarian crisis and about 4,000 per day during 2018-2019. We did get some information out of DHS. They've basically admitted they've dispersed about 500,000 people throughout America. Nobody knows where. You know, they're not really keeping track of these people. They turn them over to NGOs, non-government organizations, and they give them the bus tickets. They buy them the airfare. They're reimbursed by FEMA. And so about 500,000 people. Now, we also know there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of known gotaways. We don't know how many unknown gotaways. We have no idea where those people went. So in general, I've been using a figure extrapolated through the end of the year, probably about 1.2 million people will have entered illegally, dispersed to all points to America. And just put that in perspective, nine states have populations less than 1.2 million. That's what Democrat governance gives you. That's what the Biden administration calls a closed border. This is a huge problem, obviously.
Senator Johnson, we've been talking a lot in addition to all the craziness going on at the border. Thank you for all the work you've been doing to try to spread sanity in an insane world as it pertains to COVID. And we appreciate you coming on with us. In your home state there of Wisconsin, Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers came out and said, we don't have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. He thinks that it should be everybody's decision as to whether or not they should get the COVID vaccine, that mandates are wrong. We praised him on this show. Not surprisingly, he's come under attack from the left as someone who represents his state of Wisconsin where the Green Bay Packers play. What was your reaction to Rodgers' statement and the reaction to Rodgers' statements?
Well, I completely support what Aaron Rodgers has done. He is, and I appreciate his courage in defending his own personal health autonomy, defending his freedom. You know, it's not surprising, but still shocking at all the attacks he's having to endure now because of him just standing up for his own personal choice. I mean, whatever happened to my body, my choice? I guess that only applies to abortion, apparently. But no, I completely support him. These mandates are pointless. I held an event last week in Washington, D.C., where we had the vaccine injured. And by the way, vaccine injuries are real. They're only rare and mild if they don't happen to you. If they happen to you, they can be quite severe and serious, and we showed that. Plus, we also had experts. Well, one of the experts had a very simple decision tree, had two boxes. One box said, are the COVID-19 vaccines effective? And if you follow the yes line down, it went to the second box and said, well, then the vaccine mandates are pointless, right? If they're effective, what do you care whether somebody next to you is vaccinated or unvaccinated? Unfortunately, guys, we're following the no line now because these vaccines, unfortunately, are not as effective and safe as we all hope. But it goes to the exact same decision line, then the mandates are pointless. I mean, if you can get infected, if you can spread COVID, if you can get seriously ill and die from COVID, what's the point in mandating them? And I think that's the exact same point that Aaron Rodgers was making. It's insane to force this on anybody. And guys, it's really insane to force this on children. 5 to 11-year-olds, they have virtually no risk of serious complications from COVID unless they have other comorbidities. They do run a risk of myocarditis. There is no medical necessity for children, and yet our CDC, FDA, the COVID gods, as I call them, President Biden, they're pushing these vaccines on children. I mean, that's a travesty.
We're speaking to Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Senator, to what you were just talking about here with the pushing of vaccines on kids, are you concerned that in your home state of Wisconsin, there may be some effort to put school mandates in place? We've already seen that in California. And also, if you could give us your thoughts on the Fifth Circuit coming out, putting a stay while they review further the national vaccine mandate. What do you think about all that?
Well, obviously, I'm concerned. Every time you get some sort of approval, and again, except for the Comirnaty, we still only have vaccines that are under the emergency use authorization. And guys, anybody that tells you that they know the long-term safety profile of these vaccines is just bald-faced lying to you. Nobody knows. And that's, of course, the problem. And so one of my doctor's group commented on the Pfizer application for 5 to 11-year-olds. He said that they proved that their vaccine takes the mortality risk in 5 to 11-year-olds down to virtually zero, which, again, just shows the absurdity of what they're trying to do. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why would you be pushing an experimental vaccine? We don't know what effect this is going to have on long-term reproductive health. I mean, there are so many concerns that I've been hearing from my doctor's group about the spike protein being a toxin to the body, creating, you know, coagulation and blood clots and, you know, the lipid nanoparticles settling in, for example, the ovaries or other types of organs. We do not know the long-term impact of these things. So that would, you know, they would say that you should exercise some caution here, but the COVID gods, President Biden, are throwing caution to the wind. And yes, I am absolutely concerned about mandating this to children. I am concerned about the loss of freedom. You know, too many Americans have willingly given up freedom for a very false sense of security. That's got to end.
We're talking to Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Senator, last time you were on with us, you were talking about looking at the data, and I applaud you, and we try to do that on this show as well. Talk about data as it pertains to COVID, and you were discussing the numbers that are coming out of Europe. We are seeing a massive increase in the number of COVID infections in Europe, despite a high rate of vaccinations. As you mentioned, many of these vaccines appear, based on the data, to be failing. Where are we headed in the winter? And at what point do you think the Biden administration might say, hey, we've gone too far? Just now, in the last hour, the spokesperson refused to take travel restrictions inside of the United States off the table if people are not getting the vaccine. Where does this end? How do we fight back?
So unfortunately, our CDC, FDA, they're not being honest and transparent with Americans, so we have to look to Europe. So here's the facts from UK, for example, that is publishing data. Last 7.5 months in Europe, the deaths from the Delta variant, which is about 80% of the COVID cases, 63% of those deaths are with fully vaccinated. Over the last 4 weeks, 78% of deaths in the UK are from the Delta variant and with the fully vaccinated. So those are just the facts. In America, we get updated Bayer's data every Friday. This Friday, we now surpassed 18,000 deaths, worldwide deaths, reported on the Bayer system, over 850,000 adverse events. And guys, what we need is early treatment. We've always needed that. We should have pushed this. And there are drugs, multi-drug protocols that are working. That's what Aaron Rodgers is availing himself of. Ivermectin. This is a drug that's, was termed a wonder drug by who? A Nobel Prize winner. The same Bayer system. This is actually Bayer system, the FDA adverse event reporting system. Over almost 26 years of data, on average, ivermectin has 15 deaths a year. 1-5. Hydroxychloroquine, 64 deaths per year. The normal flu vaccine averaging 78 deaths per year. In the Bayer system, we're up to over 18,000 on the COVID vaccine, and the CDC and President Biden, they're just going, nothing to see here. You know, adverse events are rare and mild. 5,600, by the way, of those deaths have occurred on day 0, 1, or 2. Now, I know the Bayer system doesn't prove causation, but that number right there concerns me a lot, and it should concern the Walensky's and the Fauci's and the Janet Woodcocks of the world, of the President Biden's of the world, but it's not. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why aren't they concerned about their own safety surveillance systems? Why,
Senator Johnson, can I ask you to answer? You've raised that question of why. Why do you think they're pushing these things despite all the data you've just shared with us? Why do you think they refuse to listen to reason?
The only conclusion I can draw is social control. You know, look what they're doing in California, New York. Now you need a vaccine passport to get into restaurants. I mean, just think ahead. How else can they control your life? I mean, I suppose you can live without going to a restaurant. I mean, can you live if you can't go into a grocery store? I mean, what else are they going to do? And by the way, fully vaccinated now is going to keep changing. Now it's going to have to be the next booster and the fourth booster and the fifth booster. You know, there are serious scientists that are concerned about an accumulation of the spike protein, which is toxic to the body, not being able to be flushed through from your system if you're getting all these boosters time after time after time. Again, caution is in order here, but they're throwing caution in the wind.
Senator Johnson from Wisconsin, last question for you, Senator. Obviously, we've talked a lot about the border and with COVID with you. It appears the Senate is now going to be the last stand for what's going to happen as it pertains to this Bernie Sanders-Biden budget. What do you expect Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to do now that the House has passed or will pass soon their version of the budget? And what's the time frame, so long as you have been told, in terms of a resolution there?
Well, I hope they dig their heels in. I mean, they've drawn some pretty, good red lines that I would, I appreciate the fact they've drawn them. My concern is that Democrats will, they'll just use budget gimmickry. They already did that when the score is at $3.5 trillion. They don't acknowledge that these entitlements will never end, so they score them for just a couple of years, and then they'll keep playing that budget gimmickry. They may kick out a few things, but I hope Democrat roadblocks or gridlock, Democrat gridlock. I hope that prevails. Pray for it. I'm afraid it won't.
Senator Johnson, appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much.
Take care. Stay well.
Too many Americans suffer from chronic pain as a result of aging. Exercise can also be the source of pain or overexertion or just the effects of everyday living. But there is a solution. It's called Relief Factor. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for you. With four key ingredients, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. If you're currently in pain, you've got a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it with Relief Factor, right? So those are pretty good odds. What do you have to lose? Yvonne from California tried Relief Factor with great results. She and her husband tried so many other possible solutions before they found Relief Factor. Now they can claim freedom from pain. Thanks, Clay, to Relief Factor.
No doubt. And you can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the 1995 3-week quick start developed just for you. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Encourage all of you to go subscribe to our podcast. Search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton's name. Go give us 5 stars. Make sure you don't miss a single moment. Make sure you don't miss any of our interviews as well. As the holiday travel season approaches, you may want to stock some things to listen to as you will be driving around the country to go visit your friends and family. I'd suggest that the Clay and Buck Show might be a good option. So go sign up for that today. Well, one of the big challenges out there, Buck, is when will the Democrats say, you know what, that goes too far. That's a restriction we can't support. San Francisco says, hey, you got to have a vaccine passport for your 5-year-old to go into McDonald's and get some chicken nuggets. That's okay. Everybody out there required to show vaccine passports in order to go watch a concert or a movie in different parts of the country. That's okay. What about domestic air travel, domestic travel in general? If there are restrictions on international travel predicated on the COVID vaccine, would the Biden administration require COVID vaccines in order for us to travel inside of the United States? Well, They were just asked that question, and everything is on the table. Listen to the question and the answer.
The U.S. is now accepting fully vaccinated travelers from countries that were previously restricted during the pandemic. Given how rapidly the Delta variant spread here within the United States over the summer, why are there still no vaccine or testing requirements for domestic travel?
So, you know, we say this all the time. Everything's on the table. We just don't have any announcement to preview right now on this. So I don't have anything more to share on the domestic travel.
Here's the reality, Clay. They're holding this stuff back.
Yeah.
They're holding it back dependent on what kind of winter we actually have here with regard to COVID if things start to get bad. And I think they're likely to, because even a lot of vaccinated people are going to get pretty sick. And there are going to be people in the hospital and people that are dying who are fully vaccinated. As we know, there's only the need for boosters because of the failures that the vaccines have. And because we understand that fully vaccinated is really no longer a thing. You're always temporarily vaccinated.
That's right.
With these mRNA vaccines that they're giving people. So now what we're going to see, I think, is the utilization of additional mandates. And they're going to keep ratcheting it up dependent on what actually happens with the caseload. And the ultimate is, isn't it so interesting? Why, you know, given that what they believe, why not have the, you have vaccine passport in New York City for this? Why not go for it? Why won't the Biden administration do it? It's just political consequences. It's not about science. It's because they know people would be ticked off if they made domestic flights dependent on vaccination. And also the airlines would probably shut down.
Well, not only that, Buck, it also wouldn't work. And that's the ultimate kick in the nuts, so to speak, here, is that you don't have any data to reflect that if everybody were vaccinated, this story would go away. It doesn't disappear at all. Because if you look at what's going on in Europe, if you look at what's going on in many other parts of the United States, even right now, highly vaccinated areas are setting all-time records for COVID cases. And so as you break all of this down, the likelihood here, the likelihood beyond a shadow of a doubt, is even if we had 100% vaccination rates, we would still have a really high rate of COVID all over the country. And so this is what is so frustrating. The Biden administration is trying to tell us that if everybody were vaccinated, this would go away. And it's simply not true. What you got for us, Buck?
We're pet lovers here on this program. Family dog of the Sexton household. Tallulah gets lots of love and attention from all of us. She's lived a good life. She's 12 years old. We want her around for a long time to come. That's why we're paying even more attention to what we're putting in her food these days. See, the problem with most dog food is that it's dead food. All dry dog food must be able to sit in a shipping crate, warehouse, or on a store shelf for 2 to 3 years. To accomplish this, all dry kibble dog food manufacturers use a sterilization process. You need to add back in the stuff that they take out of the food. You need your dog to have probiotics, enzymes, vitamins, and healthy microbacteria. That's what you get with Rough Greens. Rough Greens is a healthy supplement that we put into Tallulah's dog food. You got to put it into your dog's food, too. Trust me on this one. Puts all the probiotics, enzymes, and vitamins back into your dog's food that your dog needs. Go to roughgreens.com/EIB. They're going to give you the first bag free. All you pay is shipping. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB.
Become an EIB VIP at clayandbuck.com. VIPs can email Clay and Buck through the exclusive VIP email address. Plus, watch exclusive videos for members only, access to the stack of stuff, commercial-free podcasts, and much more. Become an EIB 24/7 VIP today at clayandbuck.com.
Welcome back to Clay Travis Buck Sexton Show, everybody. Wow, can't believe it's already second half of the third hour flying by here. Please follow Clay on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, Buck Sexton and Clay Travis. We have our own accounts. We're sharing things, commenting all the time. And make sure you subscribe to Buck Sexton. The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Also, there's a Buck Sexton podcast in the morning that you can try out just in the early mornings. 30 minutes long. It's quick. So we have some updates here on critical race theory. Clay, it turns out, this is fascinating, all the stuff, all the parents who think that they've heard critical race theory being taught to their kids on Zoom instruction
Yes.
Or all the people that think you can go online and read about this stuff and believe the Department of Education website in the state of Virginia when they say that they're trying to infuse the curriculum with critical race theory, at least principles, if not official lesson planning. They're all confused, according to CNN. It's such a shock, folks. See, it's not that the left has been caught and parents are rising up against it. It's that we all just don't know what we're talking about. That's what they want you to believe. Here's a perfect example of a little propagandist mouthpiece over at CNN. They all do whatever, you know, Zucker wants them to over there. It's a left-wing propaganda outfit. Here is CNN, though, and Senator Scott of Florida, in fact, talking about critical race theory. You need to hear this exchange.
I think what Democrats are going to continue to do is talk about Donald Trump. I think Republicans are going to continue to talk about issues. Glenn Youngkin won his race because he talked about issues. And I think that's what's going to happen. What we're going to see is, just like in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe wanted to say, oh, there was nothing about critical race theory. We know it's true. Parents know their kids are being indoctrinated with critical race theory in Virginia. And the Democrats wanted to deny it.
It's not in the curriculum.
Showed up because they don't like being lied to.
Just to be clear, it's not in the curriculum. In Virginia.
Let me just read you a few things. In 2015, while Terry McAuliffe was governor, the Virginia Department of Education promoted incorporating a critical race theory lens in education. You can still find it on the Department of Education's website. Still there. In February 2019, Department of Education promoted critical race theory and the idea of white fragility.
I looked at it yesterday.
So, I mean, Clay, can I just... This is the talking point they fall back on. It's actually embarrassing at this point because the parents who are upset hear and see and know what they're upset about when it comes to their children's instruction. But instead of engaging on this, the journos out there, the media apparatus of the Democrat Party, is still clinging to either it's so complicated you can't understand it, it's not actually even happening, which is what we just heard, or if you don't like it, you're racist. Those are the only options.
Isn't it amazing how many people in our industry are just absolute imbeciles?
Yes.
I mean, he is directly contradicting her live on the air, which is hard to do on a television interview. To his credit, Senator Scott, it appears that he was well prepped. His staff probably said, hey, she's going to say this is not a real thing. Here are several examples that you can directly cite on air. Because you know this, Buck. You do a lot of television, too. It's hard to have time to look down at documents and contradict somebody live on television. It's set up, television is, to be primarily an opinion-based medium when it comes to interviews. You share your opinion, I'll share mine. She's saying that his argument is not rooted in fact because there's no legitimate critical race theory being taught in Virginia. And he was on the ball enough to have the information directly in front of him to specifically cite why she's wrong. But what's going on here, Buck, is part of a larger issue, and certainly CNN and MSNBC and a lot of places out there in the sort of left-wing resistance media, they bought into things that are not true, and a lot of the people who bought into the things that are not true are not smart enough to do their own research, and so they just trumpet whatever the talking points are. And this is why I've said, Buck, that Rachel Maddow disappoints me on the whole Russia collusion thing. She's so smart that she should be intelligent enough not to make this mistake. A lot of other people just aren't that smart in media. And so they take whatever people tell them and just run with it as talking
points. Well, Maddow laughed all the way to the bank about Russia collusion and also
lied for years about Russia collusion.
She was the primary host at MSNBC. She was the only one during the Trump era who had ratings that would sometimes in primetime even eclipse some of the Fox primetime hosts.
That's the only show.
And it was, you know, this crazy Kremlinology nonsense night in, night out, all of which was crap. I mean, if you were watching the Rachel Maddow show during the Trump years, you were getting a steady diet of lies.
Mueller was going to be their savior. He was going to lead Donald Trump being taken out of the Oval Office. This is what they believed, in handcuffs, because of his collusion with the Russia government.
People were told this. And it's amazing to watch now as the actual prosecutions begin of those who fabricated the Russia collusion lie. Not a single person in a privileged perch in the media has come out to say, wow, I am so embarrassed. I cannot believe what my show said. I need to make this right. I need to tell my audience the truth. We need to have some accountability in this. They used a lie to oppose Donald Trump, not just in rhetorical terms, to weaponize the federal government against him as part of the Russia collusion hoax. Trump was, when he called it a witch hunt, he was spot on. It was 100% true. And there's no accountability whatsoever. I mean, you have people who think that their brand is supposed to be truthful journalism, people like Fake Tapper over at CNN. He should be begging the forgiveness of his audience, but he doesn't because he was in on it. Because all that mattered was that it was anti-Trump, Clay. We know it. It didn't matter that it was all a lie.
Not only are there no consequences, the exact opposite, Buck. All of these people have been given more. Rachel Maddow just signed a $30 million a year contract, and she's not even going to have to host her show anymore come the spring or summer of 2022. They are paying her at MSNBC a unbelievable salary that directly rewarded her for peddling 100% untruths. And she doesn't have any obligation. Buck, you and I mean, people can agree or disagree with a lot of what we say, but if we get a fact wrong on this show, we come on and we say, hey, sorry, we didn't mean to get that wrong. We try to vet everything to make sure. Now, opinions are different. Everybody can have a variety of different opinions. But in terms of factual bases upon which we base our opinions, if we get something wrong on a fact, we'll come back and say, hey, we got that wrong. Turns out that wasn't true. Because we want to be as honest with you as possible, even though we don't consider ourselves to be Big J journalists. We are, with this show, fortunate enough to talk to a large audience every day, and we don't want to spread things that aren't true, which is what MSNBC and CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times did. And by the way, Buck, rewarded themselves with Pulitzers, big new contracts, all of it predicated on lies surrounding Donald
Trump. It's stunning to see how little self-reflection there is among the corporate media at this point that went along with the Russia collusion nonsense, because it's not as though there were some aspects of the entire thing was a fabrication of the Hillary Clinton paid for DNC sponsored dossier. A bunch of people wrote up rumors and then pretended that the rumors had some gravitas so they could run it to the FBI and the corporate media, who were basically playing ping pong with the lie. This is what they did. This was the primary news story for Democrats in America, and for the first 3 years of Trump's presidency, without question, for three solid years until COVID came along, the biggest news story in America, and in some ways, therefore, the world, was a giant lie. And these same individuals and organizations, New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, etc., they now want to lecture all of the rest of us about COVID, about election laws, about everything, about, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse self-defense. They act like we're supposed to take them seriously when no person who got the Russia collusion story wrong should ever be taken seriously again until they come forward and say, I was part of a massive fraud. I'm embarrassed and sorry, and I will do better. I have not seen a single person, not one, in the media say that.
And they won't, because they're liars. And because they got rewarded for their lies. Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and his team fit us for our own pillows and introduced us to their ever-growing list of incredible products. You can trust Mike Lindell to get you a great night's sleep. And I got to tell you, these pillows are amazing. And yes, the pillows are what started it all. You can get a standard MyPillow right now for $19.98, originally nearly $70. That's a $50 savings with the promo code Clay and Buck. King Pillow, just $10 more. And money back guarantee until March of next year. You have nothing to lose. Buck, how do they get hooked up?
It's so easy, folks. Go check it out now. Go to mypillow.com. Click on the radio listener specials and enter promo code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but rotating discounts on 150 plus MyPillow products, from the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, My Slippers, and more. Again, MyPillow.com is the website. Click on the radio listener specials and enter promo code Clay and Buck when you're at checkout, or just call this number, 800-792-3269. That's 800-792-3269.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Final segment, Monday edition. So many different stories to get to. Senator Ron Johnson, our thanks, our guest at the top of the third hour of the program. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Bill O'Reilly. Should be a good conversation with him. And as Joe Biden's overall approval ratings continue to tank at levels not seen between he and Kamala Harris in most of our lives, 38% approval, according to the USA Today's most recent poll alongside of Suffolk University. Kamala Harris, 28% approval rating, which is lower than I've ever seen for a president or vice president ever in the history of polling in the modern era in my life. And that is spreading everywhere. In particular, Let's Go Brandon continues to grow and spread everywhere. And this happened at a Wichita, Kansas hockey match, hockey arena, and a hockey game with minor league hockey people involved during Sunday evening's ECHL game between the Kansas City Mavericks and the Wichita Thunder. There was somebody upset that a woman had a Let's Go Brandon sweatshirt on, and they forced her to leave the arena. But as she was leaving the arena, the entire crowd in the arena, Buck, began to chant, "Let's Go Brandon." And this is part of a larger part and parcel of what is going on, which the left is trying to make whatever language is used to denigrate them into slurs. Let's Go Brandon has been argued to be a slur. The word woke, did you see this recently, Buck, over the weekend? The word woke was called a racial slur as well. If you're losing the battle for the hearts and minds of America, what do you do if you're the Democratic Party? Argue that any of the apparatus used to win that battle, humor or otherwise, that they are racist and not able to be used as a part of the discussion. This is not a surprising move, but it is, in fact, the move that is being undertaken.
Clay, look, are they trying to get rid of Let's Go Brandon now in places, right?
Yes.
I mean, they're actually moving to this point where they're acting like that, which is specifically designed to be the thing you can say without offending anyone's sensibilities,
right?
It's representative of an overall feeling. It's obviously another way. You know, if I say, you know, what in the gosh darn it, I'm not saying the other thing, so I shouldn't have
you're
people...
You're choosing to clean your
that's
language
right.
up.
So they can't have this situation where they say, oh, you can't say that either because it's like the other thing, right? You know, if I sit here and talk about how, well, that's a big pile of malarkey, I'm not saying the other thing that I'm not allowed to say with the FC. But, Clay, it's all we've been talking about, which is that they cannot sustain a situation where mockery of Biden really catches on because he's an absurdity. This guy should not be the president. You know, they could say whatever they want about Trump, and they did, and then some. They lied about him. They said all these horrible things about the president. This is a guy who was a political phenomenon, all right? This is a guy who would do 2 hours off the cuff in a stadium with 60,000 people or whatever, however many people were there and arranged around him, and was electrifying and created essentially a one-man political movement. And they acted like, oh, it's crazy Donald Trump. He's a reality TV star and, you know, a playboy.
25th Amendment.
And Joe Biden is a loser. And they made this guy president. And we're all supposed to sit here. And he's too old for the job. He's not up for it. We all see it. And they don't want us to make any jokes about it because once people start to switch their mentality to, I don't care that he's the president. This guy never should have been in the role. The Democrats were reckless in putting him forward. Then the whole thing starts to fall apart.
It's such an interesting point because in the past, when people have gotten their ass kicked in midterms after being elected president, there was the possibility, Buck, let's use Bill Clinton as an example. When Bill Clinton got destroyed in 1994, what did he do? He brought in Dick Morris. Well, he also had, you know, got into a lot of things, Bill Clinton, but he brought in Dick Morris and he tried to triangulate the nation so that he was basically governing from the dead center middle. And it was really hard to give the Republicans a lot of space politically to move. The difference between, let's say, a Bill Clinton or even a Barack Obama and Joe Biden is those guys were trying to get reelected. Buck, have you really sat back and thought what the 2 years after next year's midterm might look like? If Joe Biden is not going to be able to run for reelection, and I just find it improbable that the Democrats are going to try to drag him across the finish line at 82 years old again. I don't even think he'll run. Once the Democrats get put on the shellacking like they are in 2022 and they get crushed by the Republicans, we're going to effectively have 2 years where Joe Biden is the president of the United States and has zero actual power. And he doesn't have any ability to even try and adjust his governing style because he's not going to be running for president again. I don't know that there's a precedent in most of our lives for a situation like that. And so I don't even know how it's all going to play out, except that it's going to be an incredible mess. And our adversaries, China, Russia, North Korea, whoever you want to point to, Iran, are going to be able to take unprecedented advantage of Joe Biden. As weak as he is right now, he's far stronger than he's going to be for the rest of his term. He's going to get progressively weaker, and that's not even considering his ability when it comes to what appears to be a clear declining in cognitive function that's only going to get accelerated and worse over the next few years as well.
Instead of the Democrats deciding that maybe moderation would be a better approach, I think we've also seen that they're going, I mean, the progressive mentality is to push as far as you can, as quickly as you can, before people even realize what it is that you're doing, and then deal with the mess you've made later on and gaslight people and act like these aren't really the result of decisions that you've made, which I think is indicative of what Biden's been doing all along, right? They make it harder for oil and gas producers to say, oh, we don't know why prices are so high. They undermine law enforcement as a political party. Democrats have, we all know it, with defund the police and all that madness. Oh, we don't know why crime is so high in major cities and this is continuing to be a problem. They never actually learn the lesson, because ultimately it's about them being in control. And Joe Biden, you're right, he's only going to be in a weaker political position going forward once they've even gotten, I think, the Build Back agenda done, when people see what ends up happening with inflation. But we'll have to tackle that one, I think, tomorrow, Mr. Travis. Looking forward to chatting with everybody then.
No doubt. Bill O'Reilly tomorrow. Get signed up now for the podcast. Talk to you tomorrow. Can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.